6. Matthew chapter 6, I'll be reading verses 1 through 4. And out of reverence to God, please stand as this word is read. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. So, whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or on the streets to be applauded by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. You may be seated. As we're studying through the Gospel of Matthew, we've looked through... Wednesday, we were looking through the end of chapter 5 and loving your enemies. And we looked at this, and Jesus is speaking. He said, you have heard that it was said, love your enemies and hate your, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. Yeah, that switched around. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, Scripture said, love your enemies and love your neighbor. If we look for a moment at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, Jesus is quoting from here. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. I'm going to keep getting those flipped around. Love your enemies and love your neighbor, because Jesus wants us to do both. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. Yes. And it helps by getting the right verse. It's not in Exodus. I'm going, that verse doesn't look right. Leviticus 19, 18. Do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of your community, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, go back to Matthew chapter 5. He said, you have heard it was said, love your neighbor. Now, notice what they left off. Love your neighbor as yourself. They, the Pharisees, were teaching, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. They took off, love your neighbor as yourself, as you already love yourself. And they added, and hate your enemy. Hate your enemy is not in there. A Jewish saying was, at the time of Jesus, if a Jew sees a Gentile fallen into the sea, let him by no means lift him out. For it is written, thou shalt not rise up against the blood of thy neighbor, but this man is not thy neighbor. Their attitude was, we are special. Gentiles, which is anyone that's not a Jew, they're our enemies. Treat them badly. And so, at the time of Jesus, you had people that were not true, 100% full-blooded Jewish. You had the Samaritans, the half-breeds, and they were viewed as despicable people. You had the Romans, the occupiers of Israel. They were viewed as adamant enemies. And there were some Jewish people who started working for the Roman government, collecting taxes for the Roman government, tax collectors. They were despised by the true Jews, as they called themselves. And so they hated the tax collectors, the Romans, anyone that was not Jewish, the Samaritans who were only half-blood Jews. And so Jesus said, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, here's what you really should be doing. Love your enemies. and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. Now, last night it was dark for the righteous and the unrighteous. Today the sun's up for the righteous and unrighteous. There was wind blowing last night for the righteous and unrighteous. There was rain for the righteous and unrighteous. God treats all equally. Now, he can separate it. During the plague of darkness in the book of Exodus, for 3 days it was dark over the land of Egypt, so much so they couldn't see anybody in front of them. But there was light over the Israelites. God can have little areas of light, little areas of darkness. Reminds me of Charlie Brown cartoon Pig Pen. You know, he's always walking around with that little thing of dirt right around him. Or someone walking around in a cartoon, they got that little rain cloud. I thought it was Charlie Brown. He's just got the rain cloud walking over. Everybody else is dry. He's got the rain cloud. Well, God can do that if he wants to, and he has done it. But God says he desires that everyone repent and come to repentance and salvation. He desires that no one perish. So he brings rain and sun on both the righteous and the unrighteous. And should the Christian desire any different than God? Should we desire evil for our enemies? Or should we desire that they also repent and have access to heaven? And then Jesus points out their hypocrisy in verse 46 of chapter 5. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Now remember, tax collectors are despised. Said, you're not any better than the people you despise if you do that. Verse 47, and if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? You're saying you're special and you're not doing anything special. You're acting just like the people that you despise. And then we come to chapter 6. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Now this is our title, if you will, for the beginning of chapter 6. Practicing your righteousness. So let's look back at the beginning of chapter 5. And we see the attitude of a believer. The attitude of a believer, if we look at verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. You have to realize that you are a spiritual beggar. There is nothing good spiritually in you. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn. We mourn over our sinfulness. Verse 5, blessed are the humble. If you realize there's nothing good in you, nothing you can do to please God, then you're not going to be a prideful person, because it's not because of what you can do that God gives you his favor. It's because of what God has done. And then verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're going to want to know what pleases God. What's the right thing to do before God? And then in verse 13, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. If we understand that we're spiritually beggars, if we're mourning over our sin, if we're humble, if we're hungry and thirsting for righteousness, we're going to have our light shine before men, they will see our good deeds and praise God in heaven. We are the light of the world. You know, if the power goes out, you're looking for that flashlight. Well, the power's gone out in the world of spiritually, and they need a spiritual light shining. And we are the one to shine the light toward Jesus. And then in verse 17, Jesus said, do not think I came to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. God's standards do not change. you have to be perfect to get into heaven. If you're not perfect, you don't get into heaven under your works. You have to have forgiveness and someone else's perfection poured out on you. Jesus came to fulfill the law that we were incapable of doing ourselves. And then Jesus goes on and said, it's not just outward, it's the attitude of the heart. You know the Ten Commandments. You can say, have I always kept God first place? No. Have I always honored God's name? No. Have I ever made an idol, a god of my own creation? Might even call it Jesus. Remember that? Used to be people wearing the bracelets. What would Jesus do? WWJD. It's not what would Jesus do, it's what did Jesus do. That's our example. Not our imagination, because you probably even heard it. People say, well, my Jesus would never condemn sin. Well, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. He condemned sin, he forgave sin, and he told people to go and sin no more. Jesus said in verse 21, you have heard that it was said to our ancestors, do not murder, and whoever murders is subject to judgment. But I tell you, everyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. It's an attitude of the heart. It's not just an outward sign, an outward action of murder. If you're angry, same penalty as murder. You have heard that it was said, verse 27, do not commit adultery, but I tell you, everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It's an attitude of the heart that Jesus is looking for. Verse 31, it was also said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a written notice of divorce. But I tell you, everyone who divorces his wife, except in the case of sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. It's an attitude of the heart. Verse 33, again, you have heard that it was said to our ancestors, you must not break your oath, but you must keep your oaths to the Lord. But I tell you, don't take an oath at all, either by heaven, because it is God's throne, or by the earth, because it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, because you cannot make a single hair white or black, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything more from this comes from the evil one. Let your word be believed without adding any kind of oath to it. Verse 38, you have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evildoer. On the contrary, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to the other. And if anyone wants to sue you and take away your shirt, let him have your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Jesus said, it's an attitude of the heart. Verse 43, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Again, an attitude of the heart. That's the inward. We should see within ourselves. But what about people outside? What should they see? That's what he's dealing with in chapter 6. Chapter 5 is the inner part. Chapter 6 is what people see on the outside. A lot of people don't see what's inside us. They only see the outside. I remember watching the movie Apollo 13. And they had been arguing with each other. And they were on what's called Vox. So Houston could hear everything they were saying in the capsule. And they told him, we could hear everything you're saying. Well, they called back later and they'd been arguing. And the Tom Hanks character asked him, are we on Vox? No. And he goes, hello, Houston. Y'all probably even do that. You'll be arguing with somebody, your phone rings. Hello. You change your attitude. You put on a different attitude when you think someone can hear and someone can't hear. Jesus said, Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others. There's not a period there. Because some people want to put a period there and read it like this. Do not, or be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, period. There's not a period there. To be seen by them. Don't do your righteous acts to be seen by people. But we are to do righteous acts. There are things we are to be doing. That word, that verse starts with be careful. That reminds me of sort of like being on guard duty. Someone on guard duty in the military, they're watching around, or like a Secret Service agent. If you ever seen a Secret Service agent, they're always having their head up and their eyes on the swivel, looking, being careful for anything that might be happening. On guard duty, you're looking out for someone that's not supposed to be there. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen with by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. We are to practice our righteousness. In Psalm 106, verse 3, it tells us to practice our righteousness at all times. In John 15, verse 8, Jesus says, produce fruit in keeping with righteousness. We are to be acting on the righteousness that was in us at all times. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, he says, our righteousness should surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees. And he's always talking to about the scribes and Pharisees, about them being hypocrites. A hypocrite comes from a Greek word that means mask wearer. And it goes back to the theater. And we still even have it today. If you see the symbol for a theater, you have two masks. One's with a frown and one's with a happy face. Well, in Greek theater, they would actually have people put on that happy face mask or that sad face mask to let you know what emotions they were trying to convey. And a hypocrite is one that's putting on a mask to try to deceive or try to convey a different message to the audience. Jesus said, don't be a hypocrite. And he called the scribes and Pharisees hypocrites because they look good on the outside, but the inside is something totally different. We are not to do our righteous deeds to be seen by others. We are to do righteous deeds. If you've been to any hospital, you've probably seen a wing of the hospital named after somebody that donated a lot of money. This is a such and such wing of the hospital. I've even been to churches where you come in and in the hallway there's little plaques. Here's so-and-so gave this much to be in this section of the plaque wall. Do they give to be seen by God or to have their plaque on the wall? Did the person give to the hospital to help those that were sick or to have a wing of the hospital named after them? Jesus says, do your righteous acts, but not to be seen by people. Going on, so verse 2. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or on the streets to be applauded by people. Now, there's not a reference to anyone ever sounding a trumpet, but it's a figure of speech talking about don't do things to try to get a people's attention. It could also be a play on the fact that there were 13 trumpets, little places where you dropped your offering around the temple. And so don't call attention to yourself giving your offering. Jesus said, truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, is your left hand going to know what your right hand is doing? Yes. But it's telling us, don't even say, oh, look what a good thing I did. Don't let your left hand say to your right hand, hey, you did a good job. Don't do your offerings to be seen by people. Don't do your offerings even to make yourself feel good. Do your offerings to please God. Your righteous act should be to please God, not to please men. So basically it comes down to this. Who is the audience that you want to see your righteous acts? Yourself, other people, or God? Who's the focus of your actions? A lot of people go to certain churches to be seen by other people. Many churches in the South are places of networking for business people. I'm going to see so-and-so because I'm going to have a meeting with him about a bank loan next week, and I know he goes to church on Sunday at such and such church, so I'll be there. He'll see me in church, and I'll have a better chance of getting that loan because he'll think I'm a righteous person. Now, they don't say that, but that's the thought. I want to be seen by others. Verse 4, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, there was a TV show I saw. This guy goes on and he takes failing restaurants and he helps them get back on their feet. One of the things he does, he sets up hidden cameras in the restaurant. And he has the owner of the restaurant, him sitting in another place, watching what's going on when the owner's not there. And in one scene I saw what they did, he had a customer that their food was not made right. So they took it back, and the customer's own relative, or the owner's own relative, did not treat the customer right. It just wiped off. It was made wrong. So she just wiped off the extra mayonnaise or something like that and then sent it back out instead of making a fresh sandwich. And they're watching this on hidden camera. The owner saw what was going on. There was a hidden camera showing what was going on. That person that was the owner's relative was not doing what was right for the owner, for the restaurant, for the customer. But they sent the sandwich back out to the customer. Customer never knew until the person that's a restaurant fixer came and said, don't eat that sandwich, because they knew what was happening. Well, some people do things to be seen by others, but what was unseen, and God sees everything. God does not need night vision goggles. God does not need a flashlight to see in the dark. God sees inside our hearts. He knows. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, examine the mind. I test the heart to give to each according to his way, according to what his actions deserve. God sees our hearts, and he will reward us. But what about those rewards? Turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. In verse 10. Let's start at verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to the one seated on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne and say, "Our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, because you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." One of my favorite groups is called Casting Crowns, and they get their name from this. Our rewards, the righteous rewards we get, the crowns in heaven, we just cast before the King, because it's all about Him. He's the one that's worthy. We're not worthy. And in Matthew, we've been studying about what Jesus says is the attitude and the actions of someone that is truly saved. They have the right attitude. They do the right things for the right reason. It's not telling us don't do anything to be seen. Don't do anything that can be seen, rather. Just don't do it to be seen. We're going to talk about praying. Jesus talks about praying in secret. That's not saying don't pray in public. Giving to the poor, we're to do that. But not to receive glory ourselves. We're to help the poor. We're commanded to do that. We're to fast, but not to be seen for how fasting we are. That sound right. That how good we are at fasting, or how upset, or how self-denying we are when we're fasting. I was reading a story, one of the commentators talking about, there's this guy he would sit and fast and put ashes on him, and people would come up to him, want to take a picture, and he rearranged his ashes so he looked a more displeased. So when he took his picture, oh, look how fasting he is. He's put those ashes on. He is so humble, but he wanted his ashes to be in the right place so he looked humble enough to have a good picture. Well, there are people at the time of Jesus that were hypocrites. There are people today that are hypocrites. There are hypocrites in church. There were hypocrites in the temple. There are hypocrites everywhere you go. Strive not to be one yourself. You just got to chase this one rep, more rep. Had one person say, I'm not going to go to church because they're hypocrites there. Well, where should the hypocrites be? They need to be hearing the truth of God. Sinners should be in church. Do you know there's hypocrites in Walmart and every grocery store? Because there's something there they need. There's something in church we all need, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are all going to be hypocrites from time to time, but God forgives hypocrites. Jesus talked about the hypocrite of the scribes and Pharisees. But in the book of Acts, after Jesus rose from the dead, we see, and a great number of scribes and Pharisees became obedient to the faith. The ones that were hypocrites before finally had that V8 moment. Wow, I could have had Jesus. And I still can. The old V8 commercial, it's too late to have your V8. Google it, the V8. I could have had a V8. But it was, they missed their opportunity to have that drink. Well, as long as you're breathing, you can still get right with God. There is always hope. And God desires that no one go to hell. But He's not going to force anyone to go to hell. Stand with me for our closing prayer. I'll be here at the front to answer any questions you might have. But don't think your mask is held today. I'm right with God. Masks do not fool God. let the righteousness that is in you shine before men, that people may praise God. Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity to be your ambassadors, to be your representatives. Thank you for showing us clearly how we're to be different. I pray that your word lives in our lives. Forgive us when we are hypocrites. Teach us how to overcome our failures and lead us in paths of righteousness. As you'd pray in our situation, in Jesus' name.